continuing the tradition that the Jewish people have of singing after this particular meal. And they had a rich heritage, the people of Israel, of singing. We know that. We have 150 psalms that speak about the songs. Psalm 150 says this: praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his highest heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They sang. The people of Israel sang. Jesus sang. And he was following this rich tradition. So we sing because Jesus sang. The second reason we sing is because the disciples sang. When did they sing? The very time that Jesus was singing. We know that from the scripture. But then also there's another reference in the book of Acts that really speaks about singing in a very powerful way. It's when Paul and Silas are in prison. Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. They were singing in prison. This wasn't a Sunday morning gathering of the saints with a worship team amplified and live stream. This was a challenging place for them to be. It was a difficult spot to be in, but they chose to pray and to sing. They weren't singing softly either because everybody around them could hear them. So Jesus sang, the disciples sang, and interestingly enough, heaven and nature sings. Curious, right? Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. So when you look out at the world, at the majesty, if you're a mountain person like I am and you go to the Drakensberg and you look out, nature is singing, proclaiming God's awesomeness in that place. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Heaven and nature sing to God's glory. So we sing because Jesus sang, we sing because the disciples sing, we sing because heaven and nature sing, and then we sing because we give glory to Almighty God. We are called to glorify God. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, there's a series of questions followed by a series of answers. And question number one says, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The main reason that we are put on this earth is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And then right to the very end, verse 21, the last verse of the psalm. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Singing helps us to focus on Almighty God. We are overly focused on ourselves, on our lives, on our problems. And as we sing, we begin to focus on what's really important in our lives, on Almighty God. We give him glory. In the Bible, singing is not just a suggestion. It's more than that, when Paul writes to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Not just a passing suggestion. It sounds more like something that everyone should do. Again, in the letter to the church at Ephesus, the scripture I've already read this morning, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. See, there's not a little caveat there, unless you're tone deaf or unless you can't sing. Everybody should sing. We're not invited to sing. We have to sing. We are to sing corporately and we are to sing privately. Now, I know there are shower singers. That's what the word I was looking for, shower. I know there's shower singers here, and I know that's a safe place, but this is a safe place as well. Okay, you can sing here as well. It's a safe place. But singing has a unique way of pulling our hearts and our souls and our minds and our whole being into the presence of God. We have to sing. We live in this place of distraction, and this helps us to focus on what's really important. Jesus sang, the disciples sang, heaven and nature sings, singing helps us to give glory to God, and then singing reinforces God's word. We sang a whole lot of songs this morning, and if you were paying attention, you would go, wait a second, that's scripture. I know that from the Bible. I've read that before in his word. So we sang House of the Lord was our opening song, who was and who is and who evermore will be. That is a quote of scripture in that song, and we sang it this morning. Rise Up and Shine, the kids' song. Remember Shoba? He wasn't sure what to do when. And then, shame, he distracted Amy, who was trying to help him. We can all rise up and shine, because you paid it all 1,000 times. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon us. We sang about God's incredible salvation, and we are called to rise up and shine by Isaiah. Then we sang praise. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Psalm 104, verse 33. I'll sing to the Lord all my life. I'll sing praise to my God as long as I live. Then we sing, come Holy Spirit. We need to be filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. We know at the time that we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, when you say, Lord, I want to follow you, we know we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we leak. And so we want to go back to God and say, yes, Lord, fill me again with the Holy Spirit. And then we sang the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Again, we sang scripture. And this is what song does. It helps us to know and to learn. They draw us back to God's word. Paul tells us to let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And as we sing, the message of Christ does dwell among us richly. And then singing strengthens us spiritually. We often think that we can't really sing in those difficult times. When we're down or when we're going through a challenging time, we don't feel like singing. But that's a good time to singing. It's a good time to be singing God's songs, singing about his goodness, his faithfulness, his justice. I know that in my own life, when I hit a difficult time, there's this one song that just will not get out of my head. And I'm sure there's a song that sometimes jumps into your head and just won't leave. There's a new word in the English dictionary. It's called an earwig. When you have a song that won't leave your head, that's called an earwig. And this is my earwig. It's a Hillsong song from a long time ago, but it's All Things Are Possible. Almighty God, my Redeemer. And I just have those words going over and over again in my mind. All things are possible. All things are possible. And I know that when I say the words in my head, I can't get the tune because I'm that guy. I need people to lead me. But the words have stayed with me. When I'm in a tough time, I just know, Almighty God, my Redeemer, there is none like you. I just know that full and well because of that song. In Acts 16, when Paul and Silas are in prison and they begin to pray and they begin to sing, what happens? Mighty earthquake. Chains, all chains are broken loose, all the doors fly open. When they sang, God worked in a powerful way. We're people of the New Testament. We will see incredible things in our lifetime. So we should sing and we should pray. Singing strengthens us spiritually. We don't have to sing only when we're down and low. We can sing when we're up and high. All of those times we can sing to Almighty God and we are strengthened spiritually. And as we sing, we serve God. We are called to serve God. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. It's one of the commands that are given to the people of Israel. And then in Joshua, he makes the statement, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then in Romans 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. We are called to serve the Lord. And one of the ways that we serve the Lord is to sing. You don't have to be up front in the team to serve the Lord in singing. You can be here and serve the Lord in singing. Over and over again, Paul calls himself a servant of the Lord. Peter does the same because they serve the Lord. God doesn't need us to serve him. We don't earn points by serving him. We don't serve God because he needs anything. We serve God because he's called us to serve him and he wants us to serve him. We also serve other people because of what God has done. Nation Changers was a good reminder of some of the things that God has called us to do. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me, Jesus said. Just interestingly enough, just worship team, I know we're like a cutting-edge Presbyterian church when it comes to worship. I don't know if you've visited other Presbyterian churches, but it's really, really something. Although, just a couple of weeks ago, most probably about a month and a half, there was somebody in the church who was visiting because their child was involved in something that we were doing. And I met this person at the back of the church during the songs, and he said to me, oh, it's so nice to sing these old songs. So there we are, folks. We are not that cutting-edge Presbyterian church after all. Although there's a couple of new songs you might have picked up lately, but there's a place for all songs. You know, to answer that question about the hymns, there's a place for hymns here. There's a place for older songs. There's a place for newer songs. The songs we sing are not for us. We sometimes think they are. But when you come to church, let me be really honest. When you come to church, be open to what God is trying to lead you into and through in the songs. My friend Adrian was born in South Africa. He was married to a lady in India. They're both of Indian descent. It was an arranged marriage. They only met each other, I always tell people, they only met each other face-to-face 9 days before they were married. So he went as a missionary to India. He could not speak the language. He didn't have a choice but to sing the songs that the church was singing there until he could learn the language. We get to sing in the language that we know, that we understand. He had to learn the language before. So there was a long time that he most probably found worship a little bit frustrating. I don't understand these songs was a thing that he could say. I don't like these songs. Maybe he did. But that was a challenging time for him. He shares about how he had to learn the language to know what he was singing, to really worship God in that place. Worshiping God and singing to God is about our hearts, I believe. Jesus doesn't need us to sing to him. But one way that we do serve him is that we do sing to him. Nearly every major celebration in life, we sing. When we get together for a birthday, we sing. When we get together for a wedding, we sing. We sing to bless the people, and we sing because we are filled with joy at the occasion. There's joy in those places. And so being in fellowship is a place where we are also singing because of the joy, because of the fellowship, because of the gathering of the saints. Psalm 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we do that. Everybody makes a joyful noise. And then as we sing, we have a glimpse of what is to be, as John shares with us in the book of Revelation. If you don't like singing now, well, you've got a real problem then, okay, just saying. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There's this great multitude of people from every tribe and tongue and nation who are worshiping and singing to Almighty God. When we stand before God, we will be singing to Him. We will be giving Him praise. We will be giving Him worship. Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing to God, sing in praise of His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before Him. His name is the Lord. So we're going to sing our song that's going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I get to see if my sermon meant anything, because this is going to be the greatest singing that we've ever had in this church. Hey, church, let's sing together.